We have way too many politicians in America today who seem to do the opposite. They seem to go out of their way actually to make their constituents stupid, encouraging them to believe that certain jobs are American jobs and can be protected from foreign competition, or that because America has always dominated economically in our lifetimes, it always will, or that compassion should be equated with protectionism. We need politicians who are able and willing to both explain and inspire. And what they most need to explain to Americans is pretty much what Lou Gerstner explained to the workforce of IBM when he took over as chairman in 1993, when the company was losing billions of dollars. IBM got arrogant. It had built its whole franchise around helping customers solve problems. But after a while, it stopped listening to its customers. It thought it didn't have to. And when IBM stopped listening to its customers, it stopped creating value that mattered for its customers, and that had been the whole strength of its business. When Lou Gerstner came in, one of the first things he did was replace the notion of lifetime employment with the notion of lifetime employability. A friend of mine, Alex Attal, a French-born software engineer who was working for IBM at the time, described the shift this way. Instead of IBM giving you a guarantee that you will be employed, you had to guarantee that you could stay employable. The company would give you the framework, but you had to build it yourself. It's all about adapting. The company will give you access to knowledge, but you have to take advantage of it. You have to build the skills because it will be you against a lot of other people. When Gerstner started to change the paradigm at IBM, he kept stressing the issue of individual empowerment. Said Attal, he understood that an extraordinary company could only be built on a critical mass of extraordinary people. As at IBM, so in America, average Joe has to become special, specialized, or adaptable Joe. The job of government and business is not to guarantee anyone a lifetime job. Those days are over. That social contract has been ripped up with the flattening of the world. What government can and must guarantee people is the chance to make themselves more employable. Politicians not only need to explain to people the flat world, they need to inspire them to rise to the challenge of it. There is more to political leadership than a competition for who can offer the most lavish safety nets. Yes, we must address people's fears, but we must also nurse their imaginations. Politicians can make us more fearful and thereby be disablers, or they can inspire us and thereby be enablers. To be sure, it is not easy to get people passionate about the flat world. It takes some imagination. President Kennedy understood that the competition with the Soviet Union was not a space race, but a science race, which was really an education race. Yet the way he chose to get Americans excited about sacrificing and buckling down to do what it took to win the Cold War, which required a large-scale push in science and engineering, was by laying out the vision of putting a man on the moon, not a missile into Moscow. If President Bush is looking for a similar legacy project, there is one just crying out, a national science initiative that would be our generation's moonshot, a crash program for alternative energy and conservation to make America energy independent in 10 years. If President Bush made energy independence his moonshot, in one fell swoop, he would dry up revenue for terrorism, force Iran, Russia, Venezuela, and Saudi Arabia onto the path of reform, which they will never do with $50 a barrel oil, strengthen the dollar, and improve his own standing in Europe by doing something huge to reduce global warming. He would also create a real magnet to inspire young people to contribute to both the war on terrorism and America's future by again becoming scientists, engineers, and mathematicians. This is not just a win-win, said Michael Mandelbaum. This is a win-win-win-win-win. I have consistently been struck that my newspaper columns that have gotten far and away the most positive feedback over the years, especially from young people, have been those that urge the president to call the nation to this task. Summoning all our energies and skills to produce a 21st century fuel is George W. Bush's opportunity to be both Nixon to China and JFK to the moon in one move. Unfortunately for America, it appears as though I will go to the moon before President Bush will go down this road.